Hi, it's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm a top-rated life coach, an international best-selling author, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm on a mission to help you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. The experts on this show will help you achieve work-life balance so that you can experience abundance in seven pillars of life: spirituality, health, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. When you have all seven pillars of life in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's go.
Hello, Sandy Weiner. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show.
Thanks, Rebecca. Great to be here with you.
It's so great to have you on the show. And I had so much fun being interviewed on your podcast, Women of Value, that we said, let's take the conversation over to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show and keep the wisdom flowing. So here we are. And I'm just so excited for an enlightening conversation. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited too. It was great to have you. And it's nice to sit in the opposite seat.
I love it. So let me tell my audience a little bit about your greatness. So Sandy Weiner is the founder of Last First Date, Women of Value. She's a TEDx international speaker and a dating and relationship coach. She is also a women's empowerment coach, an author, a podcast host. She's certified in NLP. She has been published in major publications like Psychology Today, the Chicago Tribune, and Your Tango. She is the host of not one, but two podcasts, The Last First Date Radio and the Women of Value podcast. So, Sandy, you talk a lot about how to have that last first date and find your true love. Tell us a little bit about your story. Obviously, you had an origin story about how you found your love and how you became a dating coach, and I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, well, I actually became a dating coach because I got divorced, not because I found love. So I had been married. Yeah, whatever motivates you, we're often motivated by pain and not pleasure. And I got divorced after about 23 years of marriage. I had had a bunch of kids and I was just trying to figure out how to do a better job this time around. I had gone back to become a life coach. I became certified as I was divorcing, and I didn't start out as a dating coach, but as I was coaching other people, I had friends who were newly divorced and who were dating, and they were making a complete mess of their dating lives. I was listening to stories of just accepting crumbs of attention and posting things on their online dating profiles that didn't truly represent them, and terrible pictures. And even though I wasn't yet in the game of dating yet, I really recognized that she was doing it wrong, or they were doing it wrong. Like, they were not doing it effectively. And I just started helping friends. And then slowly, actually a friend of mine called me a man whisperer.
Oh, and,
yeah, she goes, you really understand men. And it was not something I had really thought about, but I really did. And so I started doing this work about 14 years ago. And I absolutely love helping women and men now. I've been helping a few awesome men who are very coachable and open and ready to learn new skills to really do it differently this time around.
That is so wonderful. So you are certified in nonviolent communication. I've heard this phrase thrown around a lot. What exactly is nonviolent communication?
So nonviolent communication actually came about for me at the end of my marriage. My husband, who was not a great communicator, at the end of our marriage, he realized, oh, I really need to work on these things that Sandy keeps saying. So he became immersed in nonviolent communication as a way to process his emotions. Basically, it's a way to break down what's going on for you. You take the main issue, like let's say you're dealing with something very difficult. Often we just can't get to the clear idea of what it is because we're so filled with the history of the person that we're dealing with. They always do this. They never do that. We call people names in our heads. This is all going on in our heads usually.
Hopefully.
You know, right? Hopefully. Sometimes not. But a lot of what stops us from communicating well or even getting clarity about what's going on is all this inner chatter. And in nonviolent communication, that's called the jackal. It's all the stuff that gets in the way of our clarity. So once we clear all that stuff out, the labeling, all the judgment, we can be really clear what's going on without any judgment at all. So let's say somebody hurt your feelings and they came late or they forgot that they were supposed to meet with you and you're really angry at them. So all the clean statement is they forgot the appointment. That's it. There's no feelings. There's no nothing yet. And then you go into what do I feel when that happened? How do I feel? And then what need of mine wasn't met? And so you go through lists of feelings and needs. And at the end, you make a direct request, either of the person or of yourself. And what's missing for most people is we just don't even know what we feel. We just go, I feel like you hurt me, which is not a feeling, it's a judgment. And so this way of breaking things down is so helpful. And at the end of my marriage, because my ex-husband was able to do this, we were able to talk out so much of what we couldn't talk about for 20 some years.
So why don't we role play? Let's say I'm that friend that's always 20 minutes late for lunch. So why don't we role play? How would you say this to me in the style of nonviolent communication?
Okay, so you were 20 minutes for lunch today, and I felt frustrated. Let's say that's one of the main feelings. I felt frustrated because I really have a need for respect. I respect your time. I would really love for you to respect mine. Is that something that you can work on? Something like that.
Yes, I like that. Now that leads me into my next topic. I know you're also an expert at helping people to set boundaries. So is this the same communication method that you suggest your clients use to set boundaries, or do you have a different formula for setting boundaries?
Boundaries are complicated. And part of setting boundaries is learning how to communicate effectively. But before you can do that, you have to know what your core needs are. What are you protecting with boundaries? Boundaries are there to make sure that people don't violate the things that are most important to us. Most people move that line further and further and further, so it becomes really blurry. And then we don't even know what we're protecting anymore. We don't know who we are. We don't know where we end and the other person begins. And so we have a lot of other focused people out there who are just worried about what the other person thinks and feels. And we don't tap into our own.
That's codependent. Codependent, being exactly. More focused on the other person's thinking and feeling than your own thinking and feeling.
Correct. So really recognizing where am I codependent? Where am I not honoring my own needs? Do I even know what my needs are? So we have to really start back at unraveling some of our blueprints from the past. How did we grow up? I mean, it's complicated. I teach an 8-week course on boundaries with a co-leader, and we're teaching it again in January of 2023. But so we really have to go through core values first. And I do a lot of that work with my clients where we just start to identify what are the top 5 things that mean the most to you? And then how have you betrayed yourself with these 5 things? How have you not honored your own values? The speaking up part comes after you've identified it. So let's say you've allowed people to treat you with disrespect. I mean, that's a big one. Did you bring it up right away? Did you say something at the outset? Well, no, I don't want to be needy. I don't want to be too pushy. I don't want to come across as high maintenance. And so I had a client say that the other day. She said, I never want to be high maintenance. So what she did was she became a chameleon. She became whoever the other person needed her to be so she wouldn't appear needy. And I said, you know, there's a big difference between high maintenance and high value. And so I teach,
that's
right?
That's equitable right there. There's a difference between high maintenance and high value. So, okay, let's unpack that. What is the difference?
High value is you're honoring the values that are important to you. And everybody has the right, the human right, to honor their own needs and their own values. Your feelings are yours. They're not for somebody to debate. They're not for somebody to make wrong or call you too much because you have feelings or needs. The problem is that a lot of people have been told that they're too much, that when they have spoken up, they're told to quiet down, don't say anything, calm down, don't have feelings. And because we grow up like this, we don't realize that there's a way to do this in a way that's really effective. And it's actually not mean, it's kind. It's kind to yourself and it's kind to others to be open and honest. So that's high value. High maintenance is you get really whiny and needy and you throw a fit and you're reactive. Those are not admirable qualities. And so, you know, give me this. I want more of that. It's like the typical spoiled brat kid. And then as an adult, you're carrying that through and carrying it on. And it's really unattractive.
I think that's, speaking of men, I think that's one thing that men want to avoid at all costs is they don't want a woman who is high maintenance. That's their fear, that they're going to get stuck with a woman who is high maintenance. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big fear. It's who wants to be around somebody who's high maintenance? I wouldn't want to be around anybody who's high maintenance. So yeah, I think that when people learn to honor their needs, it's clarity and it's kindness. I remember I had a friend years ago who was so clear about what she needed. And she used to tell me, like, she had to meditate every day. And she would stop in the middle of the day, wherever she was, and find a place to meditate. So if we'd be out together, she'd say, at 3 o'clock, I need to just find a quiet spot to meditate. And we were once in the city, Manhattan, together, and we were in a library. We just went to the library so that she could find a place to meditate. One time it was in the car. I was totally respectful of her need to find that quiet time. It's like if you are the kind of person who needs time to recharge in order to feel energized again, if you're an introvert and you need that quiet time and you don't claim it, you're going to become high maintenance because you're going to be grouchy, you're going to be reactive, and it's not going to be fun to be with you.
Exactly. I love that. You're what a great friend you are. Just like, all right, girlfriend, just go meditate. I'll be over here reading. You know, that is such a beautiful friendship of support. So how can we communicate with men so that we feel seen and heard?
Well, we have to understand that we have different communication styles and not all men don't fall into one category. All women don't fall into one category. But when we understand that men often process differently than we do, then we're not drawing these assumptions that they mean something that they may not mean. And so, for example, men tend to be much more linear and much more analytical in their thinking. Women tend to be very multitask oriented. Men tend to be more single task oriented. And again, there are men who are very multitask oriented, so I'm not speaking for all people. But if, for example, people are communicating by text and a woman says something to a man like, I like your online profile. She didn't ask him a question. He may not answer her. Right. So, I have a client.
Think, oh my God, how rude. He didn't say thank you or anything.
Right. Right. So she hasn't made a request. She hasn't asked anything. I have a client who said, you know, when I share that I've read something and I share that with my boyfriend, he'll often just go, yes, that was news yesterday. Right. He's analytical. He's just commenting on what he had read in the news. She's looking for engagement. She's looking for communication. She's looking for back and forth. So I said to her, you didn't ask him anything. You didn't say, what are your thoughts on that? You didn't say, how does that affect your business? Let's talk about this. I'm really curious to know what's going on for you. That's a very different conversation. So if we're expecting men to think exactly how we do and to process exactly the way we do, it gets us into trouble.
We can't treat men like hairy women.
Correct. Alison Armstrong.
Yeah, Alison Armstrong
talks about that.
One of her classic lines. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
So, ladies, if you're listening to this, ask questions. Ask a man what he wants. What are your thoughts? That puts him in the masculine. What do you think? Don't ever ask a man how he feels, because that puts him in his feminine, unless you're wanting a feminine man. And that's totally okay, too.
Well, let me just address that for a minute, because I think a lot of times when we ask how they feel, they can act like a deer in the headlights. It's not just about feminine, masculine to me. It's also about how men are not raised to talk about feelings the way women are. We are much more community oriented. We have these friendships where we'll talk about breakups and we'll talk about the men we like. And men are often, they could go through a breakup and not even talk about it with their buddies. They go out fishing for the day and they come back and they never even discuss the fact that there was this big breakup. So we have to understand that. I think the other real big distinction is, if somebody is single task oriented and you want to have a conversation, you have to check in. If they are in the middle of a task, they will not hear you and you will be offended that they haven't responded. So make sure you just go, is this a good time? You know, that's it. Is this a good time? And if they say no, ask them when would be a better time. Will you be free in an hour? Are you available? Simple check-in. Otherwise, they may go, right. And then they're not really listening at all.
Speaking about that, how do men process information differently than women?
Yeah, so it's really about our brains. And there's been a lot of scientific research on masculine, feminine brains, that the interconnections between our right and left hemisphere, for women, there are a lot of interconnections, which is why we're multitask oriented, which is why we can think of 100 things and connect them all. I remember when I was writing my TEDx talk and I saw a million connections. Oh, this is connected to that theme. And this is connected. And I was working with a speech coach.
Sorry to interrupt, but what was your TEDx talk about? That's so cool that you did one.
Thank you. It's called I Used to Live My Life as a Tootsie Pop. And it was about shutting down my heart when I would get hurt. So basically in my dating life, I became tougher and tougher, trying to protect my heart till I became like a Tootsie Pop, which is really all these hard layers on the outside and this mushy inside. And remember, before we were talking about core values, my core values were not formed. I didn't know what they were. And so I just took the wrong lessons, as many of us do, and hardened my heart. And so I became this tough, armored, unvulnerable woman because I didn't want to get hurt again. And it led to a lot of poor choices in dating. And once I realized that when you get strong on the inside, you can soften on the outside like a Heath bar. So the Heath bar is right, the toffee and the inside. They're both sweet, but it's soft and yielding and open, but the strength is on the inside. So when you're strong inside, you can soften on the outside. And actually, you know, talk about the difference between men and women. I came up with this idea because a man I had dated told me he's like a Tootsie Pop. He's hard on the outside and soft on the inside. He goes, I'm like mushy. I'm like a teddy bear. And I thought, you know, we like that generally. We like these tough guys and then they have this soft interior. And then I had this realization, wait a minute, I became that and it's not that attractive.
Right.
So yeah, that's a big difference.
My old type of guy, I used to say, is rough around the edges with a big heart, but that, you know, flattened me. And now I'm like, the man that I married is his sweet on the edges and sweet on the inside.
Yeah, right.
All around, and it's much easier. So sorry for the interruption. I just had to hear about the TikTok. Let's go back to how do men process information differently? You were talking about the corpus callosum.
Yeah. So let's say we tell a story and we're talking about our day to the man in our lives. And we say, he says, how was your day? And you say, well, it was great. You know, I was working on this project. And then I went out and I was at the grocery store. And then I saw Sally, and Sally was wearing a really pretty yellow dress. And then she was telling me about her breakup. And oh my God, I can't believe she broke up. And he has no idea what you're talking about anymore. So we talk about the project. We talk about the grocery. What's for dinner? I have no idea. So it's that tracking. Like if you're talking to your women friends, they generally totally get it. They can track you. They totally flow with whatever you're saying. But men need to know, like, where do you want me to focus? What's the focal point here? And I even see it with my son. When I take a walk with him, he'll say, I've lost you, Mom. What's the point? So a good tip for women is to let men know what the point is. Like, even if you do go off on tangents, like, let them know, hey, I'd love to hear your feedback about this project that I'm doing. Can I just offload my day for a minute, you know, and just really letting him know he doesn't have to pay attention to anything but that one thing. That's very helpful.
Yeah, that is very helpful. And also to tell them when you're wanting like help and when you just want them to listen, because men love to help. And if we go on and on and on about, let's say, a work situation, they're going to be like, well, have you tried this? And have you tried that? And here's my solution for this. And you're like, what? I don't want your solution. I just want you to like, listen to me, like process it. And mm-hmm. we have to let them know how to listen. So they can, you know, do what they love to do, either just listen or be of service. But I think men really love to help women. And a lot of women don't know that.
Yeah. Women generally want men to read their minds. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you love me, you would know this by now. And we often don't tell them what makes us happy, what we would love for them to do. We also often lead with criticism without even meaning to, like, I didn't like it when you did that. Instead of, you know what I would love more of is if you would hug me every morning. We haven't gone out in a long time. Let's go out tonight. You know, instead of, you haven't taken me out in a long time. You know, when men don't do well with criticism. I mean, women don't either, but men I've seen have taken it so personally when they feel criticized, even when you're not meaning to criticize. Like we take a lovely man and we try to fix him into something else. And so, first of all, accept who you are with if you chose him. Don't choose him and then have a project. And, you know, and then try to reinforce what you want more of instead of criticizing what you want less of.
That is so true. And I am guilty of that. I used to pick guys that were projects and that I wanted to fix, and they just ended up going totally passive because I used to criticize. And if you want a man who does absolutely nothing for you, no compliments, no intimacy, no nothing, criticize them. And then they just like go belly up. And
oh, yeah.
I definitely had my part in it. And I've learned that appreciation is like music to a man's ears. And the more compliments and appreciation you can give them, of course, it's got to be sincere, but then they will do anything for you. So speaking of that, what are the words that work like magic to make you irresistible to men? We all want to know this.
So a lot of women think it's like, I love you. But the words that really make you irresistible are words like, I trust you. Mm. Because you're telling a man that you validate him. You validate the leader in him. You validate that he makes decisions that you can stand behind, that you respect him, you respect his integrity. And that invites him to show up as his best self, which really in an ideal relationship, you want to both support each other to be your best. And so trusting, respecting, validating, those are all words that light a man up and make you more irresistible to him.
So the three magic words to a man's ears are not, I love you, but I trust you, because that calls forth his integrity. And he now wants to live into that trust to make sure he doesn't let you down or make sure that you didn't make the wrong judgment about him.
Correct.
Oh, there you go. That's this episode is worth its weight in gold right there. So what are the four communication archetypes?
Yes. So I realized that so much of my work is about communication skills, and I have identified four archetypes that we fall into. And I name them after animals. The first one is the lion or lioness. Then there's the scorpion, the koala, and the puppy. And I can talk a little bit about each one.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So the lion or the lioness is somebody who is a clear communicator. They know what they want and need. They regularly ask for support. How many people ask for help? Not many. They don't play games. They don't manipulate. They want to connect. They want to understand and be understood. And they can set clear boundaries. They can process through difficult conversations. And it is the most effective communication style, obviously. It is something that most of us are not born with, but we can learn. And it's one of the things that I love teaching, because when you have the skills, you can show up as more of the lion or lioness.
So the then lion is very direct. They can
direct.
Set boundaries, ask for what they want. They communicate very clearly.
Yes.
Got it. All right. The next
one. Okay. The next one's a scorpion, which is the opposite. That's the aggressive communicator. They want to win, and they don't consider the effect that they have on others, the effect that their actions or their words have on others. They can lash out to prove a point. They're bullies. They are consumed with power. They think that their opinions, their needs, and their rights are more important than others. So I think we've all met scorpions. It's a highly ineffective communication style. It's about powering over other people, and it just shuts people down. And the truth is that scorpions are really grow up usually feeling unimportant. And so they develop this style to feel more powerful.
And they, remind me of narcissists, because they're not empathetic toward anybody else. They're just so focused on their own needs.
Correct. But some scorpions are open to change and will learn to be more effective leaders if they're in a place of power. They'll learn to be to have more empathy and to consider the needs of other people.
Okay. Next one, koala.
The koala is passive aggressive, and it's something I never realized before, but koalas, they look really cuddly and sweet, but they can lash out suddenly. And I love this archetype, the archetype, because it's such a common one. We meet so many koalas. Some of us are koalas. We can have hurt feelings, and we can use indirect communication. We can be very passive in the way we communicate. These are the people who mask their hurt feelings with indirect communication, use sarcasm, which is at somebody else's expense. And it can be confusing to communicate with them. It can be hurtful. It can feel unclear. And so, again, these people can learn the right skills. These are guards that people put up because they don't want to be rejected or hurt.
So the koala, instead of saying, I am hurt, they'll come in and they'll do something passive aggressive, either with sarcasm or something indirect. And the goal is to move from a koala to a lion and be able to say, this is what my needs are.
Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, if you loved me, you would have, you know, you would have bought me a present that I liked. You know, what about having a conversation about what you would love for your birthday and give somebody four choices or something? You know, it's all of that, that mind reading, that interpretation, we make up these stories in our heads that the person did this on purpose. You know, and it's so self-sabotaging. You know, in the dating world, if you, a client of mine didn't hear back from somebody after a few days after their first date, and she wrote him a text that said, "Well, it doesn't seem you're really interested in me, so I'm going to wish you well." And he was like, "Wait a minute, he didn't even have a chance to like process the date. Like, I don't know where he would have come on that scale, but you just totally put a wall up." And it was to protect yourself. And so then we course correct. We're not going to do that in the future.
All right. So the final one, the puppy, what is the puppy archetype?
The puppy is the people pleaser. They want to be liked and they suppress their needs and their feelings to make other people happy. They want to avoid conflict at all costs. And often when they're faced with conflict, they just get flooded with emotion. They freeze instead of being able to speak up in the moment. They want to be valued for who they are, but they don't know how to assert themselves. And they feel like speaking up is often mean if they say how they feel. So they just shut down.
So puppy is very codependent. They're a people pleaser. I think a lot of us are either puppies, especially as women or recovering puppies, and we're wanting to avoid conflict and put everybody else's needs first. But then what happens is we end up getting burned out. We end up getting resentment because we're so drained by putting everybody else's needs above ours and never getting our needs met that we end up feeling resentful and just depleted.
Yes, exactly.
So how do we go from puppy to lion?
We, first of all, discover, like I said before, what are the values that are the most important to you?
Yes.
How have you betrayed yourself by not honoring your needs, your values? And then we learn communication skills. We learn how to speak up in a way that's kind, that's assertive, not aggressive. I think a lot of people think that it's aggressive to say how you feel when, it affects every part of your life. You know, this isn't just romantic relationships. This is everything. How I speak to my children, how I set up relationships with clients. I am super clear when I start a relationship with anyone. This is how we're going to design our relationship. What do you need from me? What do I need from you? What can we do when something comes up? I once asked a guy I was dating, how might you sabotage the relationship? And we had been just started being exclusive. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, what do you mean sabotage? I said, look, we all do things. We all have a way that we behave when we're feeling confronted, when we're feeling hurt. What might you do so that I can be aware of it and we can do better? And so when we can talk about this, you know, I have a tendency to shut down. I might walk out of the house when I need space. Oh, well, you know, it would work better for me if you just took a walk around the block. Like, don't take overnight or 3 days. But take less time because otherwise I feel shut out and that, you know, that activates old wounds in me. Being able to talk like that is so important because then we're not hurt by the other person because they're ignoring us. We're telling them how we operate. They're telling us how they operate. And that leads to the best relationships.
So few people can talk that way.
Yes.
So many people are, you know, using passive aggressive attitudes or the silent treatment or sarcasm or, you know, different coping strategies that are not healthy. And I think that the work that you have done on communication styles is so valuable. So I know that you're going to offer my audience something very special that speaks into this podcast episode. Tell us about the quiz that you're going to offer us.
Yeah, so I created the Communication Archetype Quiz, and everybody can go and take it. It's at lastfirstdate.com. That's my website. lastfirstdate.com/comquiz, C-O-M-M-Q-U-I-Z. And you can learn your communication archetype. You can learn some strategies to help you if you're not a lion or lioness. And it's just really helpful to have more information. I go into great detail about why we develop these styles, what you can do about it, and because I want everybody to develop healthy communication skills.
That is great. And what is your communication style?
It's definitely lioness now. I was probably more of a koala for most of my life. I probably started out as a puppy. I was very shut down as a kid. Like I felt very judged. And so I became very quiet when I was in grade school. And then I became super sarcastic. And post-divorce, I became a lioness because I realized what I had created. I had kept so many people at bay and wasn't really being understood. I wasn't at my best. And I think so many of us grow up in homes where our feelings and our needs are not validated. And so we don't know how to do these things. And it really is one of my greatest joys to see people start to step into their value and to communicate in a healthy way.
It's crazy that we don't learn communication style in school. We are going to be communicating the whole rest of our lives and nobody teaches it. So it's so great that you're teaching this. How can people stay in touch with you?
Go to lastfirstdate.com. I have my podcast there. I have my blog, all of my services. There's courses. There's tons of things that you can check out. I would love to, if you're interested in setting up a breakthrough session and talking to me about coaching, you can go to lastfirstdate.com/application and fill out an application to be considered for coaching.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sandy, for being on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. I really appreciate your time. We love our listeners. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, please consider giving us a 5-star review and subscribing and sharing this podcast with a friend. We really value your time, and your subscriptions and 5-star reviews are what grow this podcast. And if you want to have some fun, take a screenshot, tag me in your story. I will happily reshare and give you a shout out. You have watched another wonderful episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show, where we're taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We are so excited to see you next time with another wonderful guest. Until we see you again, keep your vibe high and your hands clean. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. Please rate, subscribe, and review this podcast. If you or someone you know feels stuck and needs more abundance and balance in their life, please go to my link tree in the show notes to schedule your complimentary breakthrough call. I look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you on the next podcast episode.